I found out I was HIV positive after noticing strange spots on my body and experiencing high fevers.
Over 18,000 people have HIV in Philadelphia. Over 40,000 people have HIV either in North Carolina or South Carolina. I'm not sure. It's one or the other. I'm not sure. But I just recently saw a video of a girl saying that it was recorded to have, I believe, over 200,000 people had HIV in Texas.
Man, people out here reckless.
Damn.
It's going to be a hot summer. Scratch that. It was a hot winter. Let's get into the rise in HIV numbers that's plaguing the country right now. What it look like, TV?
I am back. What it do, baby?
YouTube's own Varnell Hill.
Did ya miss me?
Your very own spokesman for the Insidians. We're inside and we're comfortable.
They're so comfortable.
And I'm back with another one. And today we're going to get into a serious topic, y'all. We're going to get into these rising HIV numbers that's going all the way across the country. And first off, I want to say we are not going to shame anybody in this video because these people was brave enough to show their face to spread awareness to this cause so maybe someone else won't get it. So we're not going to do that to them in the comments section. But the first thing that I want to stress to people in this video is that people with HIV have no specific look. You just can't point them out of a crowd.
Right. 23 with HIV.
You would have never known at first glance or through casual conversation that any of them people was anything but normal and healthy and happy. But it only takes one night, one bad situation to meet one person that knows or maybe don't know, and your whole life can change. Forever. This lady right here is going to share her story, and you're going to see how all it takes is just one evening, and your whole life can change.
I found out I was HIV positive after noticing strange spots on my body and experiencing high fevers. It all started after a night out with my friend. I remember drinking a lot, way more than I should have. Things got so out of hand that I completely lost control of what I
bet she forgot what happened that night.
Doing. My friend tried to get me home safely, but we ended up arguing and she decided to leave. I stayed at the party with some other friends and eventually met this guy. He seemed fun, and the last thing one remember was dancing and having a great time. The next morning, I woke up in his bed, confused and unable to recall most of the night. I left before he woke up, brushing it off like it was no big deal. I thought that night wouldn't have any consequences, but a month later, I started losing a lot of weight. I was constantly running a fever, had terrible headaches, and noticed strange spots appearing on my skin. That's when panic set in deep down, had a terrible feeling about what might have happened that night. I decided to go to the hospital.
One out of control night could change everything for you, man. And the saddest part of that whole equation to me was that could have been so easily avoided if she would have just followed an old school rule. And the old school rule for women was, if you go to the club with your girls, you leave with your girls. Under yep. no circumstances do you break that rule. If y'all arguing, if y'all fussing, if y'all fighting, y'all fussing and fighting in the same car on the way home, and y'all are deal with it in the morning. If that one rule would have been just drilled in her head, it seemed like her girlfriends knew what it was. We got to cherish some of this old school stuff, younger generation. Some of this stuff we got right. Whether you understand it or not, we got it right. That's why we here.
And this is the thing. The reason the numbers are so high is due to the hookup culture. Everybody's sleeping with everybody. And I hear the younger generation. I'm a millennial, but I hear the younger generation, they don't even use protection either. You don't know what nobody got. Nobody testing nobody. Nobody asking for, you know, they my chart. Nothing. They just out here hooking up. And this could be anybody. Like he says, you don't know. HIV don't got no look. So people just sleeping with people because they think they look good, but they don't even know the status of the person. They don't even know the person, let alone.
Gotta bring these old school things tight back. That could have easily saved her life. But let's be honest, y'all. These numbers are on the rise, these HIV numbers.
STD rates in the United States are at an all-time high. These are the top 10 cities with the highest STD and HIV cases reported today. At number 10 is Jacksonville, Florida, with a total population of over 956,000 residents, 22% being African-American, 54% being Caucasian, and only 9.9% being Hispanic. At number 9 is New York City, New York, with a total population of over 8.5 million residents, 22.5% being Black, 34% being White, and 29% being Hispanic. At number 8 is Atlanta, Georgia, with a total population of over 500,000 residents, 56% of which are African-American, 40% being Caucasian, and only 4% Hispanic. They're number 8 when it comes to not only the highest cases of HIV reported today, but also STDs in America. At number 7 is Memphis, Tennessee, with a total population of over 628,000 residents, 79% of which are African-American, and only 14% Caucasian, and only 6% Hispanic. At number 6 is Baltimore, Maryland, with a total population of over 576,000 residents, 71% in which are Black, 15% are Caucasian, and only 9% Hispanic. At number 5 is Washington, D.C., with a total population of over 678,000 residents, 56% in which are African American, 34% are Caucasian, and 18% are Hispanic. At number 4 is Jackson, Mississippi, with a total population of over 150,000 residents. 94% are African-American, 4% are Caucasian, and only 1% Hispanic. At number 3 is Baton Rouge, Louisiana, with a total population of over 222,000 residents. 67% of which are African-American, 30% are Caucasian, and only 3% Hispanic. At number 2 is New Orleans, Louisiana, with a total population of over 376,000 residents, 65% in which are African-American, 32% are Caucasian, and only 9% Hispanic. At number 1 is Miami, Florida, with a total population of almost 500,000 residents, 18% being African-American, 34% being Caucasian, and 37% being Hispanic. They are number 1 when it comes to the highest number of STD and HIV cases reported in 2025.
I'm not shocked on Miami being number 1 due to the fact people go down there for spring break. They get wasted, sleep with anybody. They just trying to have a good time. And that good time could ruin their whole life. Got to be on appeal for the rest of their life. America, Babylon has turned into Sodom and Gomorrah. It really has, man. This is crazy.
Clubs have been on a decline for the past 5 to 10 years. So it's not everybody getting this HIV in the clubs. They're getting this out in the regular general population with you and me, meeting average everyday people like you and me. We reached a point in society pretty much where before you get into bed, you need to go down to the clinic with somebody and get tested. Because people are actually thinking they're getting to know people. And the person that they're getting to know is leaving out the most important piece of information.
I was diagnosed with HIV a week after my 18th birthday. Ooh. How did I contract HIV? So me and a best friend of 10 plus years from middle school were living together, and she had her male best friend come over and his nephew. We would hang out a lot and kick it and stuff like that. So then me and the nephew started speaking, talking and stuff like that. We started talking for about 6 months. Then we made it official. Well, we made it official. We were on, talking for about a year. And this man was a good man for what I could think he was. I was 17, I was young and dumb. I didn't think that him going to make these runs and things like that would result in him actually doing other things. But then again, he was gone a lot because he was working in the streets, if you catch my drift. This man had no symptoms, from what I could see. Like, we didn't live together, so we weren't always together, but he had no symptoms, like nothing. So I didn't know.
Let me just speak on that too. Listen, man, I come from a poverty-stricken environment, and I hear about these things, but I'm from Detroit. Yeah, I know. Poverty bad out there. But, and this ain't a foreign concept. People sleep with the plug for them to be able to get their fix. That's been a known thing. So that's what he was doing. I give you your fix, but you got to give me mine. I got to get something in return. Catching HIV at 18 is crazy.
Of it. Mind you, I was tested before I got with him for everything. It was cleared. Everything was great. Everything was all right. We were living our best lives, so I thought. So about 10 months into our relationship, I started feeling like, what's he really doing? He's not giving enough attention. I'm getting all this attention on the side that I want from you. So I confronted him like I do, okay? It starts an argument, of course. So fast forward a little bit, we just argue. Like, we just was arguing, was toxic, but we were still intimate, okay? So I turned 18 and decided to go donate some plasma because I was a broke hoe. And when you go donate plasma, you have to go twice to fill the entire bottle, okay? So when I went, the first time I donated, I got paid, I got my money, and I went back 2 days later. When I came back 2 days later, they pulled me into the room where they do the physicals, and they told me, you are not eligible to donate, you are do not return, because we found traces of HIV in your blood. I was astounded. So at the time, I didn't have a vehicle, and I rode the bus. So I took the bus all the way to the doctor's office, crying in disbelief. It's not true. It's not happening. So then I went 2 days later after getting tested to get my results. And they came back in with four doctors, knowing I already, thinking I already knew. And I wasn't sure if I had it or not. Next thing you know, they're like, yeah, you have it. This is a therapist if you need one. This was your med doctor. We are going to start you on medication to get your levels where they need to be. Your viral count is the next steps, is getting you on medication. Mind you, I'm in the doctor's office alone, 18, barely, and just found out I have HIV and know nothing about it. I'm thinking I'm going to die. So fast forward to about a month later, I am undetectable.
So I was
Man, that's tough. She said she was getting checked before. Everything was all right. She just happened to meet the wrong guy. That's where her life changed for the worse. Trust in him. It's bad out here. Don't trust nobody. Trust those results. Make sure you check who you're sleeping with. Make sure you get those results first. And you shouldn't even be sleeping with nobody outside of wedlock. But we ain't gonna talk. This is the world, though. We know how it is. But I gotta say what's right, that's all. But ain't nobody perfect.
It was March of 2023 when I got my last STI and HIV test, and that was negative. I had just turned 21. I was outside. I was doing my thing. No shame. It is what it is. But
talking about doing my thing, you know what that means. She's going crazy, sleeping around.
There's three people that I needed to tell from March to my diagnosis in August, and I'm gonna get into each of the people. so the first person we're gonna go back to, but the first person I met in April, and I had seen him probably once, twice a week, every week for maybe, well, let's say 2 months. So April, May, June, right? Okay. So the first person I had met in April, and I had been sleeping with him on and off, like just as a situationship, from April to May and June, right? We'll call him Tom. And then I had met someone and like we were more serious. I was with him from June to July, but it didn't last long due to just like issues. And the third person that I needed to tell, I had been with him from July to when I had been diagnosed in August.
Man, she just back to back with it. Just back to back. Back to back, back to back. I'm not judging, I'm just saying.
We'll call them 1, 2, and 3 in this scenario. So keep in mind the first person, I had been with him from April to June. It may be April to late May, to be honest. But late June, I started to develop a fever. I had 105 fever for 7 days straight. I went to the ER and I was not tested for HIV because I didn't meet the HIV standard, which is being gay or using drugs. I'm straight. I need to emphasize that. So anyways, had 105 fever for a week straight. And after that, I just got sicker and sicker and sicker. And I had been in and out of the hospitals, doctors, nobody knew what was wrong with me, right? So we get to August. I'm in the hospital. I finally figure out that I'm HIV positive. I have to make 3 different phone calls to 3 different people because I obviously, as hard as that was, I'm not gonna not tell these people because one, they need to protect themselves, get tested, and I don't wanna put someone else at risk. And 2, I wanna know who's responsible. So I give their names to the Department of Health, obviously.
Now, at least she did that because you know that is a crime to not tell the people. But people don't care, they don't tell the people. You're supposed to notify them and your next partner as well. Our partners, you got to tell them that you have it. But people out here not telling people, and that's a problem within itself.
And then I contacted them personally because I wanted to tell them. Now, the first, I had 3 different reactions to my diagnosis, and I'll get into that. So the first reaction, he was sympathetic, he was so kind, like nice, and he was kind of confused. Like, I was like, okay, like, you need to go get tested, like, blah, 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 blah. And he was kind of lost, like, what does all this mean? Like, what is HIV? Like, I'm just confused. Like, he was very, like, kind of immature to what was going on, but I also had no clue about this before, so it was fine. I guided him the right way. He got tested, provided me negative results. The second person was my boyfriend at the time. He treated me so bad, barely asked if I was okay when I was in the hospital, didn't check on me. When I was in the hospital, I literally had to find somewhere for him to get tested, and this man was on the phone yelling at me, talking about, oh, I don't have health insurance, and like, who's gonna pay for this? Like, it was all about him, and like, him being scared. Never comforted me. Like, he was just like, God showed me that he was not meant to be my boyfriend.
I gotta stop this right here, y'all. I can't let this slide. I can't let this slide. I can't let this slide, y'all. I can't do it. You mean to tell me this is guy number 2 out of 3, and guy number 2 is your boyfriend? So if guy number 2 is your boyfriend, he pretty much, I could guarantee he didn't know about 1 and 3. So you call your boyfriend up, let him know that you have HIV, that you could have possibly given it to him, but it's a possibility it could have been guy 1 or guy 3. You know, the other 2 guys I was sleeping with while we was in a relationship. And you mad that he's not there to comfort you? You want to act like he was being mean and cold to you when you don't know why? Like, this, that's that BS, man. That's that BS right there, man. That's very disappointing and disingenuous, man. If he isn't the one that gave you this HIV, you look crazy. He's supposed to comfort you after you almost...
You stay focused.
I'm sorry, y'all.
I'm glad he said it. Right. I need to figure out, wait a minute, what you mean you got it? And from who? Right, what's he expect? What do you expect? And him, he don't got no health insurance. So you out here sleeping around. Well, I ain't gonna say he's sleeping around because that was his girlfriend. So maybe he wasn't sleeping around. But still, you were sleeping around because you slept with her without you even having health insurance to know your status. If that wasn't your first, then you've been sleeping around and haven't been checked, if you're so concerned about getting checked now due to health insurance, go to the clinic, pay the fee. That's called being responsible. But nobody was responsible in this situation as of so far.
And that was like a blessing in itself. At that time, it like upset me. I was devastated by that a little bit because like I had just been stigmatized and like, you know, it was hard. But this is what I really want to talk about. This third person, okay? This third person, one night, called him and I asked him, looking back now, at the time I had been in the hospital for literally 5 days, hadn't even seen the sunshine. So I just wanted to like get off the phone, do this conversation and get off the phone, you know? I call him and I said to him like, hi, you know, I've been diagnosed with HIV. And the first thing this man said to me was, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. What's your treatment plan? In that moment, like we talked for a little bit after that, like he was like, oh, I'm here for you, blah, 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 like XYZ. But he asked me what my treatment plan was. Why would you ask me what my treatment plan was unless you already had an understanding of HIV, right? So in the hospital, in the suite that I'm in, they, the Department of Health will call you. They called me while I was in the hospital. They will call you and ask who you came into contact with. And they will ask for your sexual partner's first, last names, addresses if you have them, date of birth, whatever you have pertaining to these people. So they can, one, contact them as well and let them know. But two, like, it's a health risk. Like, these people need to be aware of my status because I came into contact with them point blank period. So I gave this information to the health department, and this third person that I asked, he was also the only person who literally could not provide me a negative test result. I asked him twice, he ignored me. He randomly disappeared in July. I started getting sick in June, and in July he randomly disappeared and moved to Texas. Like, he called me and was like, come see me, like I'm leaving in 2 days, like, and I was like, no, I'm good, like, kind of get off that, like, I just didn't want any parts in him at that point. And I thought it was weird that he randomly abruptly moved. Like, it was just odd. His life was so established here in Tampa, like, I didn't understand it. But I didn't think much of it because at the end of the day, it didn't affect me in that moment. Later, I realized now that he's in a different state and the laws are so different, there was nothing I could do. I called lawyers. I talked to doctors. I asked so many people, like, is there anything more that I can do? And nobody could really help me. So that was really it as far as who's responsible. I don't necessarily know that he was responsible. My gut says that he was responsible, but I just, like, was kind of at odds with that, and I ultimately chose peace for my own sake, and that's my story as to who is responsible for me being diagnosed with HIV.
Apologies, y'all. I lost it for a little bit in the middle of that one. Like I said at the beginning of this video, we appreciate all these people for coming out telling their stories to try to inform us and help the next person from making the same mistake they made. So with that being said, let's move on. You decided to go out. You had a wild night. What are some symptoms that you should be looking for in the near future that might tell you you might need to go to the doctor?
I have not experienced anything worse than my HIV acute stage symptoms. There were plenty, but I'm only going to talk about three in this video. Starting off strong, the vomiting and diarrhea. Man. That was my first symptom. That went on for about a week, every day. Then one day I woke up and I had this. Hundreds of little dots all over my arms, my legs, perhaps my back, literally everywhere. They didn't itch, they didn't swell up, they were just on my skin. For a second, I was relieved when I saw the dots because I thought I had chicken pox, and I'm like, well, that explains why I feel like I'm gonna croak. But no, it was HIV. The third thing that I experienced was a huge canker sore inside of my mouth. I don't have a picture of it, but I'm gonna put a picture up here of what a canker sore looks like. It was enormous. And painful and alarming. So please, no more DMs about swollen lymph nodes and headaches. HIV is much more aggressive.
Symptoms of HIV look different in every single person. Usually 2 to 4 weeks after being in contact with HIV, people will develop an acute HIV infection. This infection typically looks like fevers. I had 105 fever for 7 days straight. this infection also looks like muscle aches, joint aches, fatigue, soreness. Swollen lymph nodes were a big thing for me. The lymph node on the left side of my neck when being diagnosed with HIV was 3.5 by 5 centimeters, and my neck.
Dang. I'm learning a lot, I'm not gonna lie. I didn't know none of this. I ain't know. But I ain't out here. I ain't out here doing all of that.
I was immobilized at one point because I kind of had like a crook in my neck. I felt like I couldn't move my neck. Diarrhea is a common symptom. Candidiasis, yeast infections are common reoccurring ones in women who live with HIV or are living with HIV. Chills associated with fevers, night sweats. Some people experience rashes or ulcers. Other common symptoms include sore throats as well as nasal issues such as sinus infections. People who come into contact with HIV usually develop symptoms very briefly after coming into contact with HIV, and if they do not know about their HIV, they will become more susceptible to other things because HIV makes your body and your immune system compromised, so it's just easier to come into contact and become sick of other things.
Now that I did know that like you could catch other STDs too, so there are some people out here with multiple, and then they don't cure those either. They just out here a whole health risk.
A lot of people who are diagnosed with HIV often are battling HIV but something else at the same time because their immune system was compromised.
I'm just here to try to make you aware. I'm not trying to scare you to death. They even have medicines now that you can take if you've been exposed to it. They have medicine that you could take if you think you're going to be exposed to it. So it is a whole lot more options than it was when we was younger, but it's still nothing that you want to play with.
I am not living with HIV, but I have been taking HIV medications for the past month. Why? Well, recently I was performing a procedure on a patient who is living with HIV, and unfortunately I got a needle stick injury. Now, anyone who works in healthcare knows that we try to avoid these injuries at all costs, but occasionally they do happen, and it happened to me. Now, this was with a patient who was fairly new to me. I was unaware of their most recent viral load, and that's something that we were actually going to be checking at the visit. And so I started on PEP, post-exposure prophylaxis, and I want every healthcare worker and every non-healthcare worker who may potentially be exposed to HIV to know that this exists. So PEP, post-exposure prophylaxis, is for patients who are not on PrEP but may have been exposed to HIV, either through occupational needle stick injury like I was, or maybe through sexual activity. So PEP consists of a complete HIV regimen that is taken daily for 28 to 30 days, and classically the regimen used for PEP is Truvada and Isentris, but you can pretty much use any complete regimen, so Biktarvy or some others, as long as it is a complete regimen. You have within 72 hours of the exposure to get started on the medication. So whether the exposure is needle stick or sexual activity or whatever, you have up to 72 hours to start the medication for it to still be effective. If you start it within that 72-hour window and you take it every day as prescribed, it's extremely effective at preventing HIV infection. So in case you're ever just unsure about it, whether or not you were exposed to HIV, you can always take PEP. It's safe, effective, and can really give you a lot of peace of mind. So,
okay, so now with that said, the people that caught it unknowingly, they probably could have stopped it. They might not have got it from somebody that exposed them to it if they started the medication, is the understanding that I'm getting, but they didn't get checked in time. It's a small window of time to get on that medication, is what she's saying, to where you might not catch it, from my understanding.
Folks have asked me, ooh, are you nervous about this? Are you worried? And the answer is no, I'm not worried. I know that PEP is effective. I know that I'm taking it as prescribed, and the patient was tested as protocol suggests for all bloodborne illnesses. I will be as well when this course is over. But no, I think everything is good. I just wanted you to be aware that PEP is an option. If you have any questions about PEP post-exposure prophylaxis for HIV prevention, please drop them in my comments.
That go, but in no way am I trying to insinuate in this video that people with HIV can't live a full and productive lifestyle. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that if you can try to avoid yourself and eliminate the risk and you don't have HIV, we should try to protect ourselves to the best of our ability. That's all I'm trying to say. I'm trying to help somebody possibly not get it, because it's proof all over TikTok that it's people living happy lives with HIV, and they're not even upset with the person that gave it to them.
So this is the guy that I got HIV from.
I already patented it. I am the infector.
They did.
I am infector man.
Somebody said, did I resent you?
He's talking about I am infector man. I guess he got a joke to keep from crying, or he got to make light of the situation.
Of course, when I was first sick, of course. Sure. I haven't had sex in 6 years. You guys make me scared of it. Why?
Well, then don't have sex.
Right.
It can be scary.
<It's> terrifying.
It is. Think It's actually a tender one. Wow, Jen.
Stacey, what does the other Eric think of this?
I don't know. Idea.
You tell us, Eric. Eric.
Because I have AIDS.
We got AIDS.
I'm trying to reinforce that. It's HIV.
Yes.
I meet you in person, like conversations in California.
Oh.
Not as of yet.
Can you imagine?
We haven't started booking yet.
We're going to this college, that college.
Heck yeah.
It's the girl with HIV and her infector.
But weird. My sister's putting together some flyers for me.
Okay, I got you. So they both. Okay.
I don't have a sister.
Are you doing finger a girl with a cut on your finger?
No.
And you're not going to get HIV through your hands.
No,
that's not how it's transmitted.
It's just dirty, though. I told you that, and that is copyrighted.
All right, we have to like laugh at this. What else can we do? Sit and cry in the corner?
One thing I know.
See, you don't say it? I said that, didn't I?
Got on this internet and did is claiming to be a saint or better than any of y'all out there. I'm just a normal, average person. And I'm not going to say I'm not going to forgive you, but I don't need to be your friend after all that, man. I'm happy for them. I'm glad they found a way to get over that bridge, but I'm not there yet. I'm nowhere near there. But anyway, man, moving on. Before we get up out of here, I just want to give a warning to all my people out here that's in the plastic surgery, not plastic surgery, but getting these beauty procedures done at these little health clinics and health spas. Make sure you have a reputable upstanding health spa that you're going to get these treatments at, because it's been some outbreaks of people coming out of these clinics with HIV.
Man, I ain't think about that. Wow. Just don't get plastic surgery in the first place. You don't like the body that y'all gave you? That's an insecurity. I'm gonna try to go light on this video. I ain't gonna, you know.
Of HIV risks associated with a procedure called the vampire facial. The CDC says it's identified the first documented cases of the disease transmitted through cosmetic needles. Three women contracted the virus after getting the procedure at a now closed medical spa in New Mexico. If you aren't familiar, vampire facials use tiny needles to inject platelet-rich plasma from blood into your face. An investigation found the clinic reused disposable equipment, and at least two previous clients had tested positive for HIV before their visits to the spa.
I know you're probably thinking that's a vampire facial, and that's New Mexico. I live nowhere near that. But if they're doing it with the vampire facials, I can guarantee you that they're doing it with the Botox and whatever else requires little needles. That's what I took from that. So be careful with that. Be careful with all this stuff that they got to go poke you with a needle, man, because they out here trying to sterilize and do stuff on their own, and it's not working. They just so happen to get caught in New Mexico. When you hear stuff like this on the news, don't ever think that I'm nowhere near there. It couldn't be us around here. You never know. Keep
these
your radar.
They're greedy. They're trying to save money, cutting the corners and finding loopholes and all of that.
Anyway, man, we done pretty much reached almost the end of this one. I only got one more clip because this young lady done figured out the key to answer to all this. The answer to all this is pretty simple, but everybody's acting like it's just so outlandish and so crazy of a thought.
So 18,000 people in Philadelphia has been tested positive for HIVs. And all y'all gonna do is tell these people to strap up? How about y'all stop fornicating?
There we go.
How about y'all put y'all tools away and close y'all legs?
Right.
I mean, it's really just that simple. Fear your Lord. Fear your Lord.
All praises to the Most High. All praises.
Fornication is not the way. Wait until marriage. And then when marriage come about and y'all ready to go ahead and get married, y'all can pull the my charts out. Or go get tested together, but stop fornicating. Y'all telling people to strip up. No. Stop fornicating.
Okay, so she said it, so I can say it then, right? I told y'all, you know, I said it at the beginning. Hey, that's the best thing you should do, right? That should be the best option. That way you ain't got no worries. You got nothing to worry about. You're not going to get it at all because you're not sleeping around. Y'all better listen.
18,000 people. That's from fornicating. Y'all don't see the signs? What's going on? Let's make it make sense. Close your legs.
It's simple. We stop focusing so much on sex. Nobody's getting a vampire facial or Botox, so that takes that risk right out the picture. The whole HIV, you can't take it right out the picture.
Right. And all the other
and they really, really ran game on y'all because they're telling y'all to go out, have fun through your whole 20s, and people are getting married later and later in life. But now, when you're older, each year that goes by, that person that you find, they have another year of you don't know what underneath their belt. That's what they're not telling y'all. If you meet somebody that's 45, they got 45 years of you don't know what underneath their belt. You meet somebody that's 30, they got 30 years of you don't know what underneath that belt.
I'm not going to say 30 and 40 because people probably started in their teens, which is bad, or in their 20s. But I get the point, though. Yeah, exactly. Exactly what he's saying, though. They got all of those years with them out there getting it in, and you don't know if it was with women or men. For real. But that's common right here. Like I said, the Sodom and Gomorrah is common, and I'm saying right here, I'm saying in America, everybody like everybody and all type of crazy madness, and just everybody sleeping with everybody, even if that's not going on. Just, you don't know what people been out here doing, man.
Gotta take their word for 30 years. You gotta take their word for 35 years. Then y'all wondering why stuff ain't working out and wondering why all this crazy stuff going on, man. I don't know what to tell y'all on this one, man, but keep y'all legs closed like the young lady just said. But
keep your, it's rocket simple, in your pocket.
But nobody want to hear that, man. So y'all tell me how y'all feel about this one, everything y'all just done heard.
Tell me how you felt about what just happened there.
And like I said, we are not shaming nobody that was in this video. We appreciate everybody for telling us their story, for spreading awareness, because they're going to help save someone else. I can guarantee their stories help save someone else. So I can't do nothing but salute them for that.
Shout out to his brother for this video. Yeah, man. Y'all heard him. Y'all heard me. Y'all heard the woman at the end as well. If you want to save yourself from this, then stop sleeping around. Wait till marriage. If you're young, you're the youth watching this, that's the best thing to do. Out here, right now, in 2025, people reckless, they don't care. They don't even care. They're saying normalize STDs. Let's make it normal for herpes, and let's make it normal for all of these STDs. They want it to be normal because everybody catching it. So it's just going to be a pool of millions of people that all got it, that y'all gonna have each other, I guess. It's crazy. Family, let me know what y'all think about this one. If y'all want more of this type of content, let me know. This is different than the other type of content that I usually do. But I said I'm going to start covering the videos that I'm watching. Instead of me just watching them, I'm going to actually get my input as well. So let me know what y'all think about this one. Let me know if y'all like this one. I appreciate you. Peace. And to my Hebrew family, shalom. I will catch y'all on the next one, man.